There's no free lunch when it comes to investing. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast, hosted by Canvas Wealth. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty. Learn more and subscribe today at canvaswealth.ca.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Colin and Blair. Blair, here we are. Welcome back, I should say. We started this mini series on financial planning. I believe we're on episode 3 of that.
It is, yes.
keep my numbers straight here. The whole purpose of this is that financial planning is the core of our business because we believe in its importance. And as you being our director of financial planning, what a great time to review some of the core concepts, right?
Yeah, and it's the start of the year.
Yeah.
Tax time's coming up, so it's everybody kind of wants a reset and kind of review their finances.
Yeah, makes sense. Speaking of which, today we are going to talk about how Canadians are taxed before you invest a single dollar. So this episode might be, you would say, the least exciting because nobody likes to talk about tax, really, right? Maybe accountants or tax lawyers, but it's arguably one of the most important episodes we'll do.
Definitely. Yeah, because every dollar you earn, save, or invest gets filtered through Canada's tax system first.
You can't escape it, right? You got to pay the tax.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so how does the Canadian tax system work? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and sometimes it's a bit misunderstood, especially people throw out phrases and that, but really Canada uses a progressive marginal tax system.
Yeah, so what that means in English, I should say, is that there's different portions of your income are taxed at different rates. So, in Alberta, our top marginal tax rate is 48%. Even if you're in the top tax bracket, not every dollar you make is taxed at 48%. It's just the top portion of it is, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly true. So, for example, let's just say someone earning $150,000 in Ontario, for example, might face a top marginal tax rate near 53%, but their average tax rate might be close to 35 to 38%. So that's a big difference.
That's a huge difference. I'm pretty good with math. I'd say like maybe as much as a 15% difference, right?
It is. Yeah. And I mean, it's pretty common for most of the developed world, the progressive tax system.
Okay, so let's talk about how this distinction matters in planning. So the types of income and tax treatment. So the employment income is taxed the worst, right? Because it's just taxed at your marginal tax rate. There's no break on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, any type of employment income or interest income, whereas, capital gains are tax more favorably. Only 50% of the gain is included in income. We recently had a accountant kind of say whenever he sees somebody with capital gains, he's just like, congratulations.
The funny thing is that we have a lot of people that complain, not a lot, but a few that say, oh my God, look at all these future capital gains taxes I'm going to have to pay. It's like, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Would you rather have $10,000 that you earned that's taxed at 35%, or would you rather you earn $10,000, but I'm only going to tax $5,000? So that means $5,000 is tax free.
Yeah,
pretty good.
It is pretty good. Now in Canada, there's a big push towards dividend income. You hear this story all the time. This is the old Kevin O'Leary get paid to wait type of strategy. The truth is, well, dividends are just a form of return of capital. I'm just going to throw that out there. But you do get a tax credit on dividend income. So eligible Canadian dividends do benefit from this dividend tax credit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of that second most efficient tax. So two people earning $100,000 can end up dramatically different after tax outcome, depending on how that income is generated, whether it be income. Dividends don't have the same luster they did a number of years ago as the dividend tax credit was changed. Well, 5 or 6 years ago, it was. But yeah, for eligible Canadian dividends, it could save you a few percentage points.
Sure. And that's all we're, I guess that's the point that we're trying to make in this episode is that there's different tax schemes based off of how you're collecting your income, if you're working or capital gains, interest income, etc. So, but all of this tax stuff is administered by the Canada Revenue Agency.
Yeah, which means compliance matters, but, you know, smart structuring matters more.
Right, right. Well, let's do a case study about how Canadians are taxed. So same income, very different outcomes. So for this case study, I'm just going to call two people, I don't know, Mark and Jason. Not really sure. Do you know any Marks and Jasons?
I do.
Yeah, I know a couple too, but yeah. These are, we're not talking about those people in particular. The, both these individuals are 48 years old, both earn $140,000 of income. Mark is a salaried employee and Jason is an incorporated consultant. So if we just look at the numbers, Mark pays, in this case, we're using Ontario tax rates for this. I don't know why, but we just are. Okay.
Yep.
So Mark pays approximately a 46% marginal tax rate, which means he nets out at $83,000. Jason pays himself a $90,000 salary, but leaves income in the corporation, which means that Jason's effective tax rate is somewhere around 28%. So they earn the same amount from a gross perspective, yeah. But from a net perspective, it's quite different, right? So Jason has higher savings, more flexibility, better retirement options. I mean, that's a big difference.
It is. You know, and sometimes when we look at that in a bit of a vacuum, yeah, I mean, it looks like Jason is far better off. Chances are, though, he's probably not getting benefits. He's right. Probably not getting other things that come out of that to even it off. But again, it's just being, you know, if you have the opportunity to lower your marginal tax rate or even your average tax rate, boy, what a big difference at the end of the year.
Well, in Alberta, unfortunately, back in, I think it was 2014, they raised the tax rate from 39% to 48%. I mean, that was a huge change, right? Like an extra 9% on your top dollars.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah. Anyways, I don't know why I'm going on about that, but
it still stings.
It still stings. So same income, same city, totally different outcomes. But as you say, not really a fair comparison because you don't really know some of the other benefits that perhaps that salaried employee is getting that the incorporated consultant is not.
Well, yeah, and that's part of planning is, you know, is this right for me? What are my other costs? Because sometimes if you just look at, well, that's the way to go. 28%, that's the tax rate I want to be. You
know, yeah.
At the end of the day, there are other costs you may not associate with that. So yeah. You always want to sit down and not look at it as individual, but do a financial plan.
Right. Well, I can tell you from being an employer, when we're hiring, you know, new employees, you know, you offer them a salary of X, but you actually have to gross up the salary by 20% to offset benefits and other costs. So somebody earning, just rough numbers, $100,000, the cost to the employer isn't $100,000. It's like $120,000, right? So yep. So that those costs are felt somewhere, right?
Yeah, but there should be a, you know, a tax benefit for being a entrepreneur,
yeah,
consultant as well, because you're taking on a lot of risk on that side as well. So that's part of that tax differential.
Right. So sum it up, I mean, income type matters more than income size is what we're saying. So what we want to talk about is how good financial planning is really that after-tax planning. And where I get this is like in my costs. You know, somebody will say, how much you pay for parking? You know, I don't know. In Calgary, it's typical to pay $500 a month, right?
Yeah.
Well, to pay that $500 a month, that's after-tax dollars, which means you have to earn almost double that, like let's say $1,000 a month in gross income to pay that $500 a month bill.
Yep.
Right? Those are real numbers, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, where are we going next?
Well, let's talk investing. So you'll understand why structure beats speculation when we kind of go into the Canadian investment framework.
Sure. Let's go into that.
Okay. So, well, let's reset expectations.
Okay. Yeah, good idea.
Investing.
I mean, investing is not, unfortunately for a lot of listeners, this might be shocking. It's not necessarily about beating the market. Interestingly enough, it depends on what market people are even talking about sometimes, right? It's about participating in it efficiently and consistently. So how do markets actually work? That's the question I'm posing to you, Blair.
Yeah, well, historically, global equity markets have returned about 8 to 10% annually before inflation.
Yeah. And so, but inflation's a real number.
Yeah.
You know, like right now in Canada, inflation's running around 3%. So even if you got that 10% rate of return, the real return is more like 7%, right? And so historically, that 8 to 10 is 5 to 7.
Yeah, and those numbers look good, but, you know, returns are uneven. You know, some years, like 2025, you know, returns are 20% or plus. Others are minus 20%.
You know, I've been setting up a lot of expectations for clients coming out of 2025 because we've had two very strong years in the equity markets, or in English, in the stock markets.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, you could argue we're in the fourth year of a bull market cycle in the U.S. anyways, and bull markets tend to last about 5 years in duration. Point being, I'm setting up to clients is that, hey, like, it's great that we had great returns the last couple of years. It's not a straight line. At some point, there will be a bear market sell-off, right? And so it's like, well, what do you do with that?
Yep.
Right?
What's the John Franklin famous quote, the most dangerous words in finance are this time it's different?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, how many times have you heard that this last couple of years, right? And listen, there are some things that are different. I mean, look at what's happening in Minneapolis, or what happened in Minneapolis.
Yep.
I would argue 5 years ago, we weren't worried about, you know, getting shot on the street by Border Patrol agents.
Yeah.
Right? But that's a real thing that occurred in 2025, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's a good point. You know, the world changes, but how does that affect, you know, your investments?
Yeah.
Your framework?
Mm-hmm.
You know, will they pull back in the markets? Does it affect, you know, sometimes markets are cold in terms of they will ignore that and
yeah.
just look at corporate earnings.
That's all they care about.
Yep.
They don't, this is hard to, for a lot to rationalize, but the market, like we talk about the market as if it's a person. The market obviously isn't a person, but all the market really cares about are future earnings.
Yep.
It doesn't really care about the moral side of things that we deal with as people,
yep.
right? So what it cares about is volatility, and volatility is just the price of admission. There's volatility on the upside and there's volatility on the downside. Nobody ever complains about upside volatility.
No.
Right? Like I've yet to have somebody say, I'm making too much money. I'm really worried,
yeah.
you know, but when we get in those bear market corrections and you're down 20%, that's downside volatility. Of course, those questions come up, right?
Yeah. You know, volatility isn't risk. You know, the real risk is selling at the wrong time.
Right. Right. And that question we get posed in many different ways, but most investors do underperform the markets they invest in simply due to behavior. So, you know, you can go ask ChatGPT or any AI product that you want about investing, but it's not going to hold your hand when markets are going down. Right. And when there's this desire to sell because things feel different, you know, people are scared. So it's not necessarily do markets outperform over the long period. We know they do. It's what do investors do in different periods?
Yeah. I mean, it does get scary. I mean, that's probably our main job is talking people out of things.
Yeah.
You know, things look really, really bleak. You know, it's our job to kind of put it in perspective, let
yeah.
them know what their goal's in, what they're invested in, and, you know, be empathetic.
I've yet to see ChatGPT be empathetic, but maybe that'll come.
It's coming.
It's coming?
Yeah.
Well, let's go through another case study. So the investor who did everything right and still panicked. So for this case study, we've got, let's just call her Linda. She's 55 years old. She's invested in a balanced mutual fund portfolio that is worth roughly $780,000. Not sure why we picked that number, but it's a good number to have,
yep.
I guess. Portfolio drops 18% in a market downturn, which is actually not bad because if you go through a bear market, I mean, it means that the stock market has got to be down at least 20%. So unfortunately, during this downturn, Linda panicked and sold half of her equities and she missed out on what came after the bear market, which is the next bull market. Because it's one thing to get out. The other thing is like, well, when do you get back in, right? And markets move very quickly upside as well. So in this instance, this case study, she missed out on 22% rate of return on the upside by selling out and not getting back in. Not a good scenario.
No, and we've seen that. And, you know, it's very frustrating because obviously advice was ignored. People gave in to fear. And then, you know, when do you get back in? Boy, that's always the question, isn't it? You know, it's easy to sell, but okay, I'll just wait till the market goes up 25% and then I'll buy back in.
Yeah, so let me reframe that. So you're going to sell when things are low and buy them when they're higher. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. And then you get caught up with the Facebook, what are they, the memes?
Yeah.
And oh, you need to get out, and the 24-hour news and the fear
is
out there, you know. This time it's different. You better sell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right, because you've got these perennial bears out there that have been touting the downfall of the markets for years, and they will keep touting that until they're right. And then they'll say, look, I was right.
Yep. A broken clock is right twice a day.
I wonder if it is still in the digital age.
Oh.
I mean, I think a broken clock just doesn't work,
yeah.
Right? Because you've got to change the batteries or something, but... Yeah.
That must be age specific, that quote.
I actually went back to one of those clocks, one of those alarm clocks. Very simple. No AM or PM.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. I don't know. That's another aside.
But is it the bell ringing to wake you up?
It's bell-ish. It has a digital sound, but yeah, it's a very simple clock.
Yeah, I think my wife, I would have to get another bedroom if I went back to anything that loud to wake me up.
Yeah. Let's go back to Linda. So Linda didn't recover at the same pace as the markets recovered because the volatility wasn't the risk. The behavior was, and long-term returns don't help if you simply abandon the plan. So that's unfortunately the problem, is that everybody's looking for certainty in something that's forever uncertain. In this case, the market didn't fail Linda. I mean, Linda failed Linda.
Yeah, her emotions did.
Yeah. And listen, anybody out there that's listening who's named Linda, this isn't specific to you.
Yeah, it could be Mark or Jason.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, so key takeaways, I would say, is stay disciplined. I mean, we have so many people that call in during different times, different periods of cycles. You know, the funny thing is they already know the answer when they call, but they kind of want to hear the reason or the reasoning, right? Could be whatever headline is going to drive some sort of behavior, you know, and typically we listen to what that is that is driving that fear, but the answer is usually stay the course.
Yeah. I mean, your edge in investing isn't intelligence, you know, it's discipline.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that could be the same for going to the gym, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at people that are, I know this is totally, it's an aside, but it's relevant. You look at people that, you know, work out regularly, guess what? They're probably going to be in better shape than somebody that doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Look at somebody who eats well most of the time is probably going to be in better shape than somebody that doesn't, right? So investing's no different.
Yeah. I mean, there's really, at the end of the day, there's no secret formula. Have a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You stick to it.
Well, there is a secret formula, Blair, but we're not going to give it away on this podcast. So anybody that is looking for the secret sauce, give us a call and we'll be happy to talk to you outside of this podcast.
This is what the mega rich don't want you to know.
Right. Finally available to retail investors.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun. Thanks, Blair. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, my pleasure. Next episode, we're going to get into registered accounts and how people misuse them. So I hope you stick around for that one.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by Canvas Wealth. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to canvaswealth.ca. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast.
Financial planning services are offered through Canvas Wealth. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth Partners, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. Canvas is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. The information discussed in this show, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but subject to change. The opinions expressed in this show are opinions of the individuals, and they have not been approved by
and are not necessarily those of QWealth as a firm. This is not legal, accounting, tax, or investment advice and should not be relied as such.